Yes, this is the Bible Quizzer Podcast. Thank you so kindly for joining us. I am joined today by our lovely Micah Folkers here, one of the masterminds of the website. And then we have a guest host today. This is Miss Sophie, formerly Thomas, now Sophie George. She's currently a missionary under Baptist World Missions. She graduated from Bob Jones University with a nursing degree and currently serves over there in a missions nursing type role. You're going to learn a whole lot more about her during the course of this interview. She is a Hall of Fame quizzer. So with that being said, we'll just jump right in. So Sophie, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to meet you. I'm not going to get into all the details of how we were able to make the connection and meet and be able to do this, but really, really awesome how we were able to do this. I was trying to find you and found this article and just trying to build around it. So we'll get right started with the questions for you here. So first, what year did you first begin involvement in Bible quizzing?
As I was thinking about that, I would say I started the summer. I just got out of finished eighth grade, and I was starting my ninth grade year. And there's a lot just entails in that, but I'll start with that much. It was basically as I was starting my ninth grade year in school.
Okay, and do you know what year that was?
83, going into 1984, I would say, is when I got started.
All right, 83 to 84-ish. And did you stay with it through high school and quiz all the way through, I'm assuming?
I did. I graduated through high school with that, yeah.
Okay, so you graduated 86. All right, so I'll throw some fast stats at you here in a second after you answer the second question here. So which team or ministry did you quiz for during that time in high school?
Well, when we first started quizzing, when I started quizzing, it wasn't a school thing. It was church ministry, which was South Sharon Baptist Church at the time. And we had what you call front range youth rallies. So we would meet one Saturday every month as churches. So it wasn't until like my sophomore year of high school, my second semester of high school, when we got the chance to go to CACS, the state competitions, that I actually join a Christian school, because I was the only one on the team who wasn't at school. So there's a whole history behind that, how I got into the Christian school. I was going to a public school at the time.
So it started off kind of as a rally thing with more church and then transitioned to school later on. Okay.
Competition was more in the school area than it was for a church.
Did you have very intense competition at a state level, or would you say winning Colorado was pretty much a guarantee and then it was as you went to nationals that the competition really got stiffer?
We didn't realize till we got to nationals all the levels these other schools had to go through to even get to nationals. Because our church quizzing every month, our rallies, we're already against the competition every month. Every month we have first string, second string, team A, team B, team C. So we were already competing with national winners every month. So we kind of got an edge when we did our monthly quizzing that way.
Do you happen to remember some of the top teams in the country at that time that you would have competed against?
Faith Baptist School and Church. It was Faith Baptist Church in Longmont. That's where Matt DeVries, Stephanie DeVries, Jennifer, I mean, the top three in that family. That's how we were able to just see them every month. And when we realized, oh, they won nationals last year, okay, we compete against you next month. And we competed with them every month until we actually got to CACS.
Good warm up. So you're already basically quizzing the best. You have that level of competition. Okay.
And so we didn't have to go through levels at all.
So where in your story do the Scotts come in? I think those listening are very familiar with Pastor Craig Scott. He's now at Woodside. He's honestly one of the patriarchs of Bible quizzing at this point. For many years, they've ran the Colorado Invitational Tournament longer than I've been alive at Woodside there. It's now, I think it's pretty unquestionably the best, most prestigious tournament in Bible quizzing. So where do the Scots kind of come in?
Okay, this guy came from California around 82. And like I said, I was going to a public school at the time. I really wasn't involved much in Sunday school and church. As a public school student, I wasn't feeling much welcome, like in seventh and eighth grade going into Sunday school. They were all Christian school kids, and I really didn't want anything to do with the Christian school. In fact, I told my dad, I said, I didn't want to go to church. Because up to first, second, third, you know, you got the pre-primaries. And seventh and eighth hit, and I was like, no, I'm done with Sunday school. But then when Pastor Scott came in 82, he was there like my seventh grade year, eighth grade year. I wasn't involved in anything that he was doing. And one day, he basically called my dad and asked why I'm not getting involved in church. I'm not in any of the church activities. I'm not in Sunday school activities. So he called my dad and he brought kind of me into this arena of getting involved in the youth group.
Wow.
And it was through his ministry going into ninth grade that I got saved.
Awesome.
So,
wow.
After I got saved, I still wasn't wanting to get involved in Christian school situations. And so then I went to a prayer night and I saw kids there that weren't part, like they were the front focused kids. They weren't the really smart, pretty kids. I mean, I'm sure they were smart, but they were not the front face of the youth group when I see these kids in the prayer night. So these kids, later I realized, were on his team. And I kind of hung around them. When I came to church the next Sunday, I looked for these guys that we prayed with, but I still wasn't ready for quizzing. I was more in Awana. I have Awana started here because Awana meant a lot to me in seventh grade and eighth grade. So one day, Pastor Scott asked me, do you want to come for a rally? I said, what's a rally? And he said, well, it's Bible quizzing. I'm like, what's Bible quizzing? And he said, did you memorize verses? I'm like, well, how do you do that? I'm in Awana. And he goes, oh, no, this is different. And I'm like, you guys quizzing Bible verses? So I went to one, and it just, wow. I mean, it was amazing to see how they quizzed. I mean, I memorized sections. I would have to memorize 11, 12, or 13 sections. And Pastor Scott was like, well, we're going to memorize chapters. Well, I memorized a chapter. That was my one section to memorize, like Romans 12 or Hebrews 12 or something like that, Hebrews 13. So now how about a whole book? And I'm like, oh, no, there's no way I can memorize a whole book. But I will come to the rally, sure. So I liked it. So the next day, or not the next day, as we were coming back, sitting on the bus, Pastor Scott said, would you like to come to Bible quizzing? And I'm like, I cannot do what these guys are doing, but I'll watch. Sure, why not? I'll come to the next rally. So I came to the next rally and I liked it. And he said, why don't you join the team? And I'm like, I'm already doing Awana. I really like what I'm doing. He said, just come and see. So I came and I saw, and after Awana for me was pretty much done by ninth and 10th grade, because that's all they had. I kept on going with Awana. I was like the only one. A lot of kids dropped out after like the seventh or eighth grade year. So I continued the quiz team and I continued with Awana on my own. So that's how I started the quiz team, with Pastor Scott asking me to be part of something that I did not want to be a part of, because I didn't feel like I could fit in type of a situation.
So
that's awesome.
Sounds like pretty influential on that side. So once you started more of the tournament quizzing, did he function as your coach during that time?
He was our coach. Our quiz team, I was talking to Karen Alexander, she's a Hall of Famer, and she said, we had about 20 kids. We had a first line, first string, second string, third string. We would meet the Saturday before the quiz. Like if our quiz was next Saturday, then the week before, we would have what you call an operation saturation. So we came at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we would quiz through lunch. We'd get together, eat something for lunch, and then we'd go quizzing the rest of the afternoon, and then we'd have dinner, and then we'd disperse. But during the operation saturation is where we chose who got the most amount of points to be on the first string quiz team. And we had a board. And that board showed, you know, okay, and we moved the names around on this board according to how that team, and who was going to be captain. And we had like an hour of quizzing, and the quiz would start to finalize who was the first string and who was going to be the captain for that youth rally competition the following Saturday. So he was it. And we had helpers. We had parents that would come and watch the live board, parents that would help them do the time. But Pastor Scott was the coach. And I've never really had a coach before, which I thought was pretty neat. Being part of the team, having a coach, he was such a mentor. I was really struggling. Like I said, I was going to a public school and I didn't have any problems going to public school, but my parents didn't want me involved in a public school. So I found myself connecting with these kids for church rallies, and I ate it up. When I got involved in it, I ate, drank, and slept, literally quizzing. And when it came to those operation saturations, those mornings I would be up at 3 a.m. and I would literally set my alarm and I'd study from 3 to 5.
Oh, wow.
Quoting verses, just quoting, carrying 3x5 cards everywhere I go. And Pastor Scott gave so many different ways I have to memorize scripture. I had 3x5 cards with me all the time. I posted it on my locker. He would mention words. He would like mention one word, like ant. Oh, okay, go to the sluggard, you know, the sluggard now, ant, you know, I'm sleepy, you know, those little folding of the, I mean, one word that he would throw out was, and I would find myself in the midst of conversations when a word comes up, oh, that was my passage. That's how much it was like literally in you. I mean, you weren't in the team was basically in you.
Okay, so that kind of answered my second question, or my next question there. One, I want to point out, we had Operation Saturation, and I thought that was original with us, and you guys were doing it like 30 years nearly before we were, so wow, okay. You mentioned the 3x5 cards. Once you pretty much went in and got fully immersed, what was it inside of you, or what kind of lit the fire to go from, okay, I'm kind of getting my feet wet, to I'm going to be a great quizzer? Like, what did that, and then just real quick, some practical kind of steps you took. You mentioned 3x5 cards, which 3x5 cards are some of the greatest inventions in sliced bread, in my opinion. I still use 3x5.
Gosh, just got them free because we had a print shop and they were like the waste material of anything that needed to get printed. So I didn't have to go buy any. Pastor Scott, he had like 1,000 cards around with him all the time. And each of us got like 40, 50 cards every time he came to Operation Saturation to get us ready for the next quizzing. I mean, literally before the first quizzing was over, we were already getting the next one we're already preparing for that one before even this is over. So we were always one quiz in our mind, you know, this is the next passage. So we write those cards out. And then I just wanted to win. When I put my head to something, I put my mind to something, I tried to work around it or knock it over, and I tried to get there. That's a personal thing with me. But at the same time, the way Pastor Scott, oh, bless his heart, he poured so much time into us. He was amazing. But he loves God's word. I think when I really started realizing that God's word is above God's name, I think that's when it hit me. His word is so eternal. If there's anything that you can do in this lifetime, is to memorize his word. Mm-hmm. The word became flesh. It's one thing to have it spoken and written. You know, you can have a testimony, but one is like out on paper. You know, you can have a testimony about something, but once it's published in a book, there's something about the written word that just puts a seal on the immensity of how important it is. And he always stressed the eternality of God's word. I said, you can't burn it. You can't get rid of it. You always have it. And it became really important to me. It became more important to me than Awana did, because of the team atmosphere and the whole meditating thing. I did not, like, what is meditation? I was totally clueless. I was like, I'm meditating. I'm already thinking about it. He said, well, you have to eat, drink, and sleep and meditate. I'm like, isn't that like what I'm doing right now? He said, yeah, that's meditation. When I wake up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, my Bible quiz passage is the first thing I look up in the morning, and it's the last thing I do when I go to bed.
Wow.
I mean, it was just that much. And I think later, my dad saw me, which I did not know till later in my dad's life. Like, I could hear you walking around your room and you could quote a scripture. And I was just so happy to hear you quote a scripture and not like listening and doing other stuff. And that kind of convicted him, for him to be like, you know, my kid's only 15 or 16 and she's reading God's word at 3 a.m. And I think I kind of need to do that. So that was an opportunity for him to grow in the word also. So just the importance of God's word, the eternality of God's word, is so important to know as a young person, because there's nothing more important than focusing on God, you know, because you'll see him one day, right?
So bouncing off that thought, what you did in Bible quizzing in the passages that you memorized, how would you say that's prepared you now as an adult? Something you learned, it doesn't even have to be from the Bible specifically, but just life application that you can see now as an adult where that helped you back then.
Well, you know, when I wish I would have spent more time on it. I mean, you would think I'm already spending more time on it, but as an adult, I'm really thankful that I could, it helped me prepare, like discipline my time. Being part of a team, you really have to sacrifice. Okay, do I want to do this or do I want to do this? So your focus and your priorities really need to be figured out. If you want to win at this, then it's like any team venture, right? You have to be able to say no. And time management. I mean, I already know, it's so funny. I can tell you what I'm doing tomorrow, basically at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. I mean, everything is in God's hands. I'm seeing my life at 6 month gaps. I can't tell you exactly what I'm doing next year, but I can tell you what I'm doing 6 months from now in my mind. And so Bible quizzing kind of put a lot of my day to, I have 24 hours or from the time I wake up, what am I going to do? How am I going to get it done? What do I need to get done? So time management, discipline, priorities, focus on one thing, just one thing, not a lot of things, but focus on one thing and just get through that that's really helped me as an adult with everything that I have to get done here. I feel like I'm so spread out, but because of that, building in my life when I was doing it through high school, I can kind of like work through 5 or 6 things at the same time and not just go, whoop, I cannot handle all this. Okay, because I've already been doing it since I was in high school.
So you have the gift of multitasking.
Well, it's not even multitasking. You just have a lot. You have a front burner and a back burner, right? Okay, what things I need to get done now versus, okay, what can be done by the end of the day? But like I said, that really helped, because when we were quizzing, I don't think it was till about, like I said, 10th grade. Earlier, we didn't really have much of a chance to get to CACS. So we had been doing smaller portions. We weren't doing national quizzing versus, you know, like my sophomore year, it was John. My junior year was Acts. We were working on this. We had Hebrews. We had 1st and 2nd Timothy. We had Proverbs. I don't think Proverbs would ever make it to nationals, because that is one crazy book to do. We had to memorize almost a proverb. Every verse is so different. Revelation. Mm-hmm. We had large portions of Hebrew. So a lot of these verses, we did it for our rally, but then we had to focus on the national. What are they studying in the national level?
So it didn't necessarily correspond material with AACS that year then?
No.
So now the way it works, I'm not sure what year AACS started this, but this is kind of the calendar that we go off of. It's a 9-year rotation. It's only New Testament, and it covers 25 of the 27 books. The two that it excludes is Luke and Revelation. So everything New Testament except for Luke and Revelation, they'll quiz over a 9-year cycle. So if you did, I'm just trying to think, because you said John, your sophomore year, I believe, then Acts would have been your junior year. Did you quiz over 1st and 2nd Corinthians your senior year?
Yes, That was my senior year, I think. I think Axe was my, I'm trying to remember. Either it was John, Axe, and First and Corinthians. I think First and Second Corinthians was our senior year.
Okay. So this is the record I have. So I'm showing for South Sheridan AACS championships in 86 and 87.
Okay. Yeah.
So that would have been your junior year over Axe and senior year over Corinthians, correct?
Right.
Okay. So two-time AACS champion there. Okay. And then bouncing further off that, I'm going to go on a limb and say the discipline and time management helped you in just innumerable ways, it sounds like. I mean, I'm sure later on as a student, not only in high school, but later on in college. Is there a specific passage you memorized back in your quizzing days that have been especially meaningful to you, either now or at some part in your life of adulthood or after you got out of Bible quizzing?
I wouldn't say specific passage. I would say like the entire book of Acts was amazing. And I took a class on that book with Dr. Bruce McAllister of Bob Jones. When we got a chance to pick our, you know, you have the major ones, you have to take doctrines, you have to take Bible principles. But when you got to take electives, I chose Acts. I'm like, I know this book. And when we went through our class and the papers I had to write, and I kept good track of my record, okay? I had all A's in that class, all A's. And then I got my report card and Dr. McAllister gave me a B. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to fight this one. So I sent him a note with everything that I had studied in all my grades. I said, I'm supposed to get an A in this class. And P.S., I memorized this entire book for Bible quizzing when I was like a junior high school stuff. And he looked at that and said, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Thomas. That was a glitch in my part. You do get an A. So I changed my grade to an A because of that.
Wow.
So I would say that entire book. Because we had to write an entire paper on what was happening with the church and how the word of God was just spreading. And I'm like, I can do this. And I really enjoyed that class because of what I did my junior year of high school.
So Acts, okay. My church right now is actually going through an expository series on Acts, and it's incredible to see more on each passage and how important it is to the Bible, because without the book of Acts, we really have no picture of early church history. We don't know, you know, what happens after the ascension. How do the disciples pick up? I'm catching so many more things now than when I too memorized Acts. I believe that was my freshman year, but I love Acts as well. So good one on there.
And we're doing that now, even in India. In India, my husband is going through the entire book. And every time we go from the book, the kids are like, we know, Pastor, the book of Acts. we got the kids trained.
Yeah, I think of the material that's memorized, Acts is either the hardest or second hardest behind Matthew, just because of the sheer size. It's so big. I think it's 1,007 verses. It's huge. Okay, so looking back now, is there one piece of advice you would give to your younger self or that you would want to share with active quizzers who are in it currently?
I wish I would have been involved in it earlier. Like I started it, Pastor Scott came like my seventh grade year. And there is a lot of extra stuff happening. And I look back and said, oh man, I wish I could have spent more time in doing that. But my heart wasn't there with the Lord. It wasn't there with the school. Like I said, I didn't like the Christian school kids, to be honest. But as I tell kids, like here, you know, we try to start a quiz team here, and I tell the importance. I said, you guys, if you do anything that's going to be worth eternally, it's not going to be math, science, social studies. It's God's word. And it's just prioritizing what you want to do for eternity versus what you want to do now. Even if it's not Bible quizzing, I would encourage pastors and youth pastors to show their kids. I said, you guys have so much time for social media, you have so much time for other things, but that's going to stop once you walk over that door into eternity.
And then the
competition of it, it's fun. It's the intenseness of it is crazy, but it's a lot of fun to do this. And it's and there's so many memories that you can make with the team. And like I said, if you get a great coach, and he just trained you. And I was talking to Karen. I said the idea of even anticipating, like you'd watch the quizmaster's mouth, you know, form like who or is it what. And you're watching his lips where, when, how, why. You're watching all that and getting ready to jump. And so there's so many strategies of learning and when you're working with the team.
Yeah, there's parts of Bible quizzing I feel like it's a happy mixture between being a science and an art. There's so many... Once you go so far and get so advanced, there's so many intricacies you have to figure out. You know, who's the quiz master in this room? Are they fast? Are they slow? If you get up, are you going to get extra words? Are they going to do a dead cut off and you're just left there standing? Yeah, it's tough once you get past. It's just so many things that you don't realize just watching. But when you're quizzing, you have to pick up on to be able to win at those. All right, so I have a hypothetical question for you then. Let's say you're talking with just a random pastor, youth pastor, a teacher at a Christian school, or just a random lay church member who, in their church or their school, they're considering adding on a Bible quiz program. Why would you say they should or shouldn't do it? What would you tell that person?
Well, if they're really not all that good in sports and things, you know, there's some of these kids who are not in that realm, but they want to be part of a team. Mm-hmm. Bible quizzing gives you that team mentality. You have a coach. You have a goal that you're working towards. And there's weak links and strong links. It's not like, I'm not that good. Well, you can always get better. Like I said, when I started and I saw them memorize a whole book. And then I realized how many books actually I had learned. It helps them develop character. It helps them, you have to be on time to a team. Pastor Scott, one thing he always stated is, you're only as strong as your weakest link. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not memorizing my passage enough, that's gonna hurt my teammates. So a team thinking, it brings a group together. Then there was a time that, you know, Pastor Scott was always talking about the quiz team. Then they thought, oh, quiz team people are such a clique. You guys are a quiz team. You know, you're like Pastor Scott's pets. And we're like, what? That's crazy. But then, like, if we have a youth group meeting, like we have a youth group activity, I said, you guys, we can't stick together as a team. Everybody's spread out. Everybody thinks that quiz team is a clique now. So we all spread out. And this one girl told me, goes, oh man, you're not as proud as I thought. I'm like, you think I'm proud? And I said, yeah, but you're Pastor Scott's pets. And I'm like, what? But the whole idea is the way the quiz team is being seen by other people, we have to be really careful. Mm-hmm. Because you get a team together and that's all we're focused on. Pastor Nelson focused on it because we're winning, right? We're winning. And it was a church thing, it wasn't a school thing. But kids who are not wanting to know about God's word, they don't understand God's word. Mm-hmm. You hear it in Sunday school, but literally when you come to quiz team, before we even really start quizzing, Pastor Scott makes us write our own questions. Okay, I'm going to give you this passage, like Romans 10:9-10. Okay, what we have to write our own quiz questions, and that makes us think, what is that verse saying? What is that verse talking about? It's not Pastor Scott writing the question. And then he'll choose our questions to ask the questions. And then we'll say, oh, bad question, discount it. But writing out the questions, quoting the verses to one another, being accountable. Okay, we need all these chapters memorized. Who's going to break up? How? First, we broke it up. Okay, you learn the first 10. I learn the next 10. You learn the next 8. And that team, and I can't emphasize it enough, because from my point of view, coming into coming in from public school, and you've got all these Christian school kids, I didn't fit in. And this team really made me fit in. And I think as a seventh grader, eighth grader, some of these kids are just loners. They can't figure out, what is my place? Like, how do I fit into what, in a good way? We'll try to fit into things in a wrong way. But this is a good way to focus on their identity. You know, who are you before the Lord? And learning God's word and thinking about something outside yourself and thinking about God, that's just not in church or in the Sunday school setting. It's different.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but here's what I'm hearing. I just kind of wrote down some thoughts summarizing. So I were going to list kind of some benefits that you mentioned. I got out of that structure and discipline for each individual, an aspect of teamwork in pursuit of a common goal. Three, the one that was obvious was just knowledge of God's word, growing in that. We're commanded to do that and to grow in grace. And then just an aspect of channeling a competitive spirit that kids, you know, they may see on a baseball team, but they can't hardly throw a baseball like me, or handle a glove, or throw a football, or a frisbee, or volleyball, or whatever. But it gives you an opportunity to channel that competitive spirit beyond the team and pursue something. Okay. That's a great answer. I appreciate it, and for answering all of my questions. That's all I had. Micah, did you have anything you
wanted? Definitely. Well, I wanted to point out one thing that you said, Sophie, earlier, where you said that you wish you'd spent more time doing it, like you wish you could have started earlier. And one thing I've noticed is that I've never heard a quizzer say that they wish they hadn't done quizzing. I've never heard them say that they wish they'd spent less time in quizzing. I've only ever heard them say, I wish we had spent more time. And I just think that's amazing that you spent 3 solid years at least, or 4, and you really dug into it and you memorized so much, and yet you still wish you had done more. And yeah. So I think that's a very powerful thing. Another thing that I just loved that as you're talking about it, the mentality of when you said, I'm not that good, like I can't do this, I can't do a book, then the answer wasn't, it wasn't just, that's okay. You know, the expectations aren't so high. The expectations were just as high, and they just said, well, you can get better. And they left that possibility open, because that's one thing I deal with, obviously, as a coach. With quizzers, they always like to say, well, I'm just not that good. And they put a limit, they put a cap on what they can do. But the answer is not just, oh, it's okay, you don't have to be that good. The answer is, no, you can get better. And just trying to move the cap of that they have over themselves up to the next notch and say, no, you can actually do this. So I really appreciated those things you said. I had a question. I think you kind of answered one question I had, which is, you know, why would you recommend Bible quizzing over another scripture memory program? Obviously, you mentioned the aspects of teamwork. That's something that you can't really have in another scripture memory program. Would there be anything else that you would add to that? Why Bible quizzing was better than, I mean, you mentioned Awana, you're memorizing small chunks. But would there be anything else on that?
The Bible meditation. You can't quiz that passage if that passage is not in you. Like I said, it's that I could be driving down Sheridan or a street and I see a word on a billboard, and that word would be like in one of my passages. Mm-hmm. That's how well that passage should, you learn it. Mm-hmm. You meditate on it, you eat it, and you sleep it. Literally, I've had dreams of, I wake up and like, that was the craziest dream. I'd be memorizing a passage and I can see it in my head. I can see Barnabas. I can see Paul. I can see Peter in prison and just go, wow, through the doors as the angel is walking through the gate. You know, it's so picturesque. You know, and you think about Herod. Can you imagine he died because those worms were in his stomach? I'm like, man, he must have really been a lot of pain.
Pretty epic.
You literally picture these things in your head. That's what's so different about Bible quizzing. Once you get to that level, you can't help but hear words, hear phrases, and you plug it into what you're learning.
Absolutely.
You can't do that with anything else.
That's so true.
You can't do that with Awana. You just pass a section and you keep on going.
Right, but exactly.
This is a whole year. We started training. I am so glad our best team, when we looked at it, I was, like I said, I was the only one in this group of rally goers that had a church team. I was the only part of the church team that didn't go to Christian school. Guys, I got a free tuition for 2.5 years just because I'm on the team.
Hmm.
My parents could never afford Christian school education. Hmm. I didn't even want to think about a Christian school education because I didn't like the kids, but I liked everyone on my team. And they all go to the school. And if we had a chance to go to nationals, we had names that you guys probably, we had Brian Rothrock, we had Glenn Lewis, we had Kim Riley, there's Marie Lane, and there's Karen and me. There were six of us. That was our first stream that sophomore year, and we were going through John. And John was hard enough to learn because I'm coming into our second semester of my sophomore year. I'm going to Christian school. So I was at John F. Kennedy High School for 9th and 10th in the second semester. I'm going to Christian school because we want to go to nationals. And we lost at state and passed, and we were so disappointed. Like, man, this is because Glenn is graduating and Brian is graduating, Marie is graduating, and that just leaves Kim, Karen, and I.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find two more people to try again for nationals for the next year. So that summer, we asked around, and we got these two guys, Adam Rowland and Sam Decker, and we really didn't have a substitute. It was just us five.
Wow.
And I don't think Adam Croker, there's a couple other people that were into the team after we won the first 2 years with the same group. Kim graduated, I think, the following year. So Kim wasn't, I don't remember. Kim was going to, junior and senior year. So Kim still had two more years, and then she was done. And then it was Karen and me and these two guys, and we were dwindling down. Because we went from 20 to a small group, just a handful, and it was like do or die. It was literally do or die. So we came in June, and we memorized. We spent the entire summer memorizing Acts. The three of us just memorized Acts, and by the time we started quizzing on that, and when we got to nationals, we were ready. Otherwise, we would not have been ready. Because it was crazy. The way we were jumping and answering questions, we were just too hyper. Always just stories about that. Some of the answers, it's just crazy. Like, who? From the whole book of John. Who?
Yep.
And Glenn Lewis stands up and says, Jesus. And somehow we get 20 points.
So you didn't win this. Okay, I just want to mention this turnaround. So you don't even win state in 85. 86 and 87, you go to win nationals back to back.
Yes, because our first string of people were not there. They're all graduating. So we had to. That's why I left the public school my sophomore year thinking this is the best first string that we've had. And we've been all competing together since I was in like ninth grade. And they've been competing before that. So I kind of found my place going into this. If something happened to the first string, I was basically a substitute.
And just curious, was that team that won state in 85, would that have still been Faith Longmont that had won AACS in the 83 and 84 seasons? Can you remember?
I think so. Either them or Pennsylvania. There is a school out from Pennsylvania that also won. But I don't know if that was my junior year, but yes, Faith, we were basically competing against the national champions that 83 and 84.
Gotcha. Let me see if I can pull that up here as a quick reference, just because I'm curious. I love talking to quizzers that have experience seeing some of these older records and just having their memory refreshed, because I've only seen, you know, any involvement that I have is 2011 and post 2011, but I like talking to quizzers who were, you know, involved way back. So let's see. All right. So I was able to pull this up. That team from Pennsylvania would have been Laurel Highlands that won in 85. So we had, okay, so 83 and 84, Faith Longmont in Colorado. Then Pennsylvania wins in 85. Then Colorado, South Sheridan, which you were part of, wins 86 and 87.
Yeah, it was Silver State. The school's name is Silver State. That was really something. I mean, we're like, where are you guys from? Mm-hmm. And we're like, Silver State? Where's Silver State? It's in Denver. Oh, wait a minute. It's not Longmont? We're not Faith.
Wow.
And the year after that, it just continued, because, like I said, I wanted more quizzing, right? And I wasn't quizzing after high school. But when I went to BJ, there was Sharon Radin. Sharon was a what do you call it, a quizzer from Faith, and she was working with the Southside team with Valerie Wood. They won. I coached that team that they took nationals, and that's how Silver State got second.
So you know David Douglas, George Wood, Valerie Wood.
Douglas. He was also coaching with that team. Dave Douglas.
Wow.
Yeah. And Sharon Radin, like I said, Sharon Radin, I'm like, Sharon, Silver State won 2 years in a row. I cannot coach this team. Oh, come on, you're in college now. That's what I said. And when it came for I didn't know where to sit. What side do I sit on? Do I sit on the side that I coached with Sharon, with Valerie Wood and the Valerie Wood and that South Carolina team? Or do I sit with Silver State that I sat on their team for 2 years? That was so hard. I cringed. Who won? I mean, every time classes got out, I would catch a quiz and say, How was that last round? And it finally came against Silver State. I don't know who won third, but Silver State took second in 88. Oh, it was the hardest. It was so hard for me. And Faith wasn't there at that time, so Sharon was totally fine.
That just shows the level of competition back then, too. I mean, I don't know how big quizzing was overall, but just the intensity of that, because now, I mean, I don't really feel that. I've been on, maybe just because I've been on so many teams, because I was on three teams when I was in high school, and then I've coached the last team I was on, which is Falls in Wisconsin. I've coached some for them, but then also I'm coaching this other team. So I've quizzed against teams I used to be on. I've coached against teams that I used to quiz for. And so all of that, I guess I'm just used to that now. But I don't know if it's just because maybe the competition isn't the same as it used to be, where there was like this really intense team, like sort of pride, but not in a bad way. Like a legacy where, you know, these nationally, like these really, really good teams that have just won nationals twice. I mean, that could be different. But maybe it's just not like that now. But that's just so interesting hearing that from that perspective. I kind of wish we could get back to that.
We had people chanting. Wow. We'd go for the final round. We had schools chanting, Colorado, Colorado,
so
Colorado.
Cool. Let's do that again.
Yeah, we need to get back to some. Yeah, we need to get back to like a bigger programs having a friendly rivalry at some of these tournaments. Micah, did you have any other questions?
I think that was all I had. There could always be more. I mean, it seems like you're a wealth of good stories and content from the Bible quizzing of the past. And so, I mean, I would love to do this again. We'll see. But that was so interesting. Thank you so much for all of your time. And it's really been a blessing to hear that. Very inspiring as well. And hearing about Pastor Scott, that is so encouraging, because I mean, even now, he's not any different now than he ever was. What you're describing is the Pastor Scott that I know. And
he loves the word. He loves the word, and it just emanates from him.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's just so inspiring, because like knowing, like as a young coach now, basically just starting a team in a school in Milwaukee, just hearing what that does and what that did for you. I mean, I don't know if you would say that like Bible quizzing probably to some degree and to whatever degree you would say it altered the course of your life. Even just in the fact that you switched from public school to Christian school and maybe some influences there. But it seems like it definitely was a huge factor in changing your trajectory in life. Would I be wrong in saying that or?
No, it, like I said, it changed everything. You know, my parents, they came from India. And that's a whole testimony right there. They were not believers. They got saved at South Sheridan. They had a complete, they were so saved. I mean, like, so saved. I don't know, this very drastic change. My mom was a nursery worker. My dad, bus captain, bus driver. I helped my dad in the bus. But regarding salvation, I thought I got saved when I was younger. And then junior high hit, and that desire of not wanting to be in church, not wanting to be with believers. And then Pastor Scott noticed that. Pastor Scott noticed that I wasn't being involved. And he literally called my house and told my dad. And I had been avoiding, I literally avoided church activities. I didn't want to go. I didn't even tell my dad about it. And when they would have singspirations, my hand would literally cling to the pew in front of me and say, my dad, go. I'm like, no. He's like, you need to go. I'm like, I'm not going and you cannot make me. And there is this hardness, because it was fear and frustration. And Pastor Scott my whole life literally changed, and he sort of like directed me and brought me where I'm just, I see God's hand in it, but God's hand needed another hand to pull me there.
Yeah.
That's why I keep Bible quizzing, because that was our life. And as I'm talking to Karen, I was talking to her a couple of days ago, and she said, so what did you do during high school? Bible quizzing? I mean, because that's all we did. But we learned so much from that, and my life really has changed through Pastor Scott's presence coming into South Sheridan, helping me get involved in church. Not forget Bible quizzing, just getting involved in church, in the youth group, inviting me to prayer. I'm meeting kids there who are in Bible quizzing, not realizing Bible. So you just see the sovereignty of God in my direction, you know, in a person's life through his word.
Yeah. Right. And you could say, you know, some contributions that he would have made in the early 80s would affect South Sheridan. I mean,
from California, and we did not look at California very lovingly. But like what California is now is much any different back then. That's what we called it.
It's just wild looking back now, kind of how, like you said, you can see the sovereign hand of God working all of this out ahead of time in ways we don't know. I mean, what he did in the early 80s would have contributed to, later on, Southside winning nationals in the early 90s. And here we are talking, you know, 30 plus years after that, all about the same thing that you did in high school and trying to make it better and spread it around. So I don't know. I just think that's awesome. Even the details of how we came to connect with just different churches and mutual friends, I think is, you know, I can see God in that and how even this interview has worked out. But Sophie, did you have any other last parting words or comments you wanted to give?
Well, I'm honored to be even, you know, in this Hall of Fame thing. I didn't know there was a quiz thing like that. In fact, how I got into the situation was I was at a church in Michigan, and one of the Faith Baptist Church teammates, his name was Tom Fuller, and he was on that team back in the 80s, and his son, Jonathan, I can't remember his name.
Okay, now we've really come full circle, because I know them, I've quizzed with and against them, yeah.
He had been at this house, and when we had just got done with a short-term trip to the States, and the home we stayed in for 2-3 days with Pastor Betry, Keith Betry, and his wife, Pam, I think I remember. Well, when she saw me, she said, I know you. I'm like, we've met? She said, well, I'm Fuller. And I said, oh, you're Tom Fuller's sister. And so then Boogie is there, goes, well, I'm Tom Fuller's son. And I'm like, oh, that's wild. So then that whole night, we were talking only this. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about the Bible.quizzer.net site. And that's where I'm seeing the site. And I'm like, man, I remember Pastor Scott talking about this years ago. Like you're saying, but 38 years, right? Years ago. And so now it's come full circle like this.
Wow. So, okay, I'm really, I'm overwhelmed by the number of connections we know through the years. Okay, if I start naming names, you might know them too. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I quizzed against the Fuller kids, really all of them. And now they're all out, graduated. I think they're all graduated high school.
Oh, yeah. Priscilla might be still in high school, possibly. Okay. Senior or something, maybe.
Yeah.
They were really good. They actually were AACS champs, and I believe swept all the majors except CI the year after I graduated. That would have been the 2016 to 2017 season. They were really, really good. All right. Well, Sophie and Micah, I want to thank you again for joining us and coordinating this, getting this together. Micah's a tech hero and a guru on all that, so I appreciate you for doing that. It's been a great blessing to get to know you a little better and to interview you. And I want to say congratulations again for being inducted in the Hall of Fame back in the day. It's overdue, but glad we were able to connect and get this in there. And just again, I want to highlight Sophie and her team, along with Karen Alexander. Karen is also a Hall of Famer. More on that in the coming months as we get some of these articles up. They won AACS in 1986 and 1987 over the books of Acts in 86, and then 1st and 2nd Corinthians in 87. So major congratulations to you. Appreciate all the hard work and effort you put in, and thank you for sharing your testimony of it with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me and taking the time to do this, because it really is a walk down memory lane. And it's something that's always going to be inside you. You can't get quizzing out.
Right. Yeah, you can't do it. And I love what you mentioned earlier about the eternality of the Word of God. Anytime somebody's had the bold and quite foolish attempt to eradicate the Word of God, it's always failed miserably. I think it's Matthew 24:37, where Jesus is, verse 35, during the Olivet Discourse, he says to his disciples, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away."
Amen.
And I love that element of Bible quizzing, and it's my passion. I hope more people get involved. But I want to say thanks to both of you again. This has been a great interview, and I want to say thank you to our audience. And this has been the Bible Quizzer Podcast. See you.